What we're going to do is we're going to learn to talk to ourselves and really try to give us some tools so that we can really counsel ourselves. Really, the whole purpose is not take down every word that I say, and that's why I'll give you pretty much a full copy of what we're speaking about, but that you would then interact. This is more about, this isn't just a learning, this is about interacting it's not just about learning facts, it's about learning to apply this to you. And the whole goal is that we have another tool in the toolbox. It's probably nothing new, but something just to help us to really, as I said this morning, reboot when it comes to seeing us fall into some manner of sin that we've done before. And so the question is, how can I grow spiritually? What we want to do is we're going to give us just four steps. And the reason we do four steps, it's not that it's magical that you have four steps. It's not that it's that these are the only four steps, but it's something obtainable. It's like having a fail safe. I mean, there's a lot of disciplines that are that way. I mean, when my wife picks up a violin, she doesn't think through the scale. She just does the scale, right? People with martial arts background, you walk up to them and start to punch at them. They go through some series of things to hurt you quicker than you can hurt them. It's just the way that we work. It's great to have a steps. If you want to change the oil, you could pull out a manual, right? And it'll tell you the steps to change the oil. But if you've done it enough times, you know that it's really just some basic things to do. If I'm driving somewhere, I just go into a regimen, right? I pull up the map. I look at it with our big rig. I'll look at it, and I'll even get it to the Google Maps and see the turns and make sure that we're all good. And it's just we love to have some steps. And so what do you do when you fall into the same rut again? I mean, what are some things that are sinful things that could happen when you see that you've fallen into an area of sin that you struggle with? What's something that sometimes we could do? Get silent? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so I've heard that before. How many of you have ever gotten mad at yourself for falling into sin? Okay, does that usually help you?
No.
Not really. In fact, it's just a manifestation of self-righteousness and self-pity. It still is all about me. I'm getting mad at myself. How many of you have ever said, I can't believe I did that? It's because we don't know we're a sinner, right? That's really the issue. I can't believe I did that because I actually thought I was more like God. You know, when actually it ought to be a real clear idea. No, that's just more of a manifestation that I'm a sinner. More of a manifestation I need grace. What's some other things? I can't believe I did that. What's another one? Okay, we just play fetal. So self-pity. So one is self-righteousness. The other one is self-pity. It's like, oh man, I'm never going to change, right? Who's ever thought that before? Who's ever lost hope in an area? I have, yeah. I'll never change. That's just the way I am. I'm never going to be different. I'm never going to change. I'm just always going to be like that. And so really the four steps that we want to go through is to recognize my real problem, to repent of my sin, to remember my position in Jesus Christ, and then renew my relationship. And so really what we want to do is have these four steps so that whenever I see myself fall into that same sin again, that same pattern, that I would think, okay, what's my real problem? How do I confess my sin? How do I remember my position in Jesus Christ? And then how do I renew my relationship with God? Now, the only danger in passing out notes that have everything is that all of a sudden you tune out anything that I say and now you're staring at the piece of paper. So you're going to have to be disciplined. And even though I know that this is not the best method of pedagogy, that I know you guys are actually a superior class than everybody else I've ever spoke to. And so you're going to make sure and listen, right? And so I thought so. I probably don't even need to say that. I don't even know why I took that time. Anyway, recognize my real problem. How many of you have ever, somebody did something, somebody you're responsible for, a child or employee, and you basically gave them the counsel of stop it. You ever given somebody the counsel of stop it? At the most basic level, stop it should work when the child is like under the age of what? All right, two, all right? You know, what, six, seven, whatever, stop it, right? But how quickly did your children begin to ask you, what's the next question? You say stop it, and they, oh my, this is like easy. You guys are like, I don't even need to teach. Listen to you, all right. How well does stop it work? Stop it. Never, I'll never, ever, ever do that again. You know what I need to do? You stop it, and then you need to memorize these verses, and then you'll never, ever, ever do it again, right? What I want to do is, in a second, as we start to unpack this, I want to start hearing from you good counsel, but not the best counsel, right? So is it good that you should stop it? Yes, right? But does stop it really work? No. Okay, should they memorize, right? Yeah, but just because you memorize verses, does that really deal with sin? So I want to hear from you some good counsel, but not the best counsel, because many times we'll seek to change the area of our life. It's just a manifestation of a deeper problem. It's really that outward manifestation of fruit is easy to identify, but in contrast, finding the root or the cause of that fruit is not a simple task. And so as we recognize the real problem, I want us just to see the manifestations. What we did is we just took a bunch of the vice lists all through the New Testament, and we listed them, okay? And we just list them. And I want you, just with a pen or a pencil, I want you just to put a little checks by any of those that you feel you see in your own life. And what I want to do is I just want us to recognize the real problem. I think sometimes we're blinded to our problem. Sometimes we don't really deal with the outward manifestation, but I'll just read through them. Adultery, fornication, pornography, moral uncleanness, homosexuality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, racism, jealousy, envy, gossip, slander, critical of others, self-centeredness, anger, wrath, strife, lack of forgiveness, murders, heresies, covetousness, materialism, lying, stealing, laziness, disobedient to parents, disrespectful to authority, fear, pride, boasting, drunkenness, reveling. Do you see any in your own life? But then do you know some that are not in your, that we didn't write down there? Well, what we see in the New Testament is he says in Galatians that the works of the flesh are self-evident, which are these. And you could translate it, the self-evident evidences of the flesh. So it's just obvious that those manifestations are sinful in and of themselves. But have you ever thought about how the list is actually endless? You ever thought about that? I mean, the manifestations of the flesh, it's just endless. It's just, it can go on forever and ever. We just took like 40 sins that you could find in the New Testament. But really, have you ever noticed how crafty you are? I mean, just think about this. Do you remember when my little Ellie lies, she's pretty straightforward. You know what I mean? She's like, she just lies. I mean, I say this, she'll say no. And it's just like, it's just a straight, simple yes, no. Right. But then I've got a child that's older. Right. And when they lie, it's like they tell more of a misrepresentation. They'll tell me just enough the truth so I believe a whole lie. Right. But let's just graduate all the way to us. Have you ever noticed how crafted we are in our lies? Somehow I can lie, cover my sin, and try to make you think I'm spiritual. I mean, we just get better and better at sinning, don't we? The flesh gets smarter and smarter with how to sin in a way. And so I think that really what we need to do is when we fall into that funk, what we need to do is actually identify what was this sin. What did I really do? Recognize my real problem. Because though there's these manifestations of these sin, what we begin to realize is, well, they're driven by inward desires, aren't they? They're driven by something in my heart. You know what a great question to ask others when you're talking to them, but to ask yourself, what do I really want? Okay, somebody just give me one of those flesh manifestations, and I'll explain what I mean. Okay, obviously it's not yours. You could preface it with, I have a friend who wants, or I know sometimes Christians struggle with, all right? So it's not yours, but somebody give me a flesh manifestation. Somebody give me a flesh manifestation, any of these sins. Can somebody give me one? My own way. Okay, that's more of a motive, but give me something specific. How do you want one of your own ways? What do you do? Okay, wrath. There you go. I just got explosive in my anger, right? It just kind of goes, wah, all right? Now, what's some good counsel we should tell that person, but not the best counsel? Stop it. Okay, there you go. What else? Count to 10. You need to count to 10, all right? What's a verse that we could sometimes tell them? Okay, a fool gives full vent to his anger, okay? Somebody else said, be angry, sin not. You need to, when you're angry, you can't sin, okay? Don't sin, all right? Don't sin. All right? Don't let sun go Hey, and don't let the sun go down. You've got a couple more hours. Okay? Because this is good counsel. This is all true, but it's not the best counsel, right? So what we should do, though, is we should look at her and say, so what did you really want? What you should ask yourself is, what did I really want? Because why did I get angry? Because I had an idol, and somebody messed with it. Somebody touched my idol. Somebody broke my idol. Somebody didn't give me my idol. So what I think we need to start to do is, what were the desires? So how could this happen with disobedience? So my child disobeys. And so what's some good counsel? Not the best counsel when my child disobeys, right? Somebody tell me, what's some good counsel?
Why did you do that?
Why did you do that? That's actually starting to get some good counsel. What did you really want? You're almost there. But let's just remind ourselves, what some things come out of our lips that really, when we really think about it, it doesn't even make sense. Like, did you know that you shouldn't do that, right? Hey, what does the Bible say? What do we start quoting? What? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, that's a good verse. And then we go on that it may be well with you, that you'll have a long life, right? Kid, do you want a long life? Because if you don't obey me, I'm gonna take you out, you know? I brought you in this world, and I can take you out, right? So is that some good counsel? Those are right things. You want your child to obey. You don't want them to get hit by cars in streets, right? But is that really the motive? I mean, we're just talking about behavior. What you should say is, when they disobey, is as we unfold it, what we say is, what did you really want here? What was really going on in your heart? That's what we need to ask ourselves. We could take the anger. By the way, the reason why we're taking the time to really identify the idol is because this is how we're going to help ourselves. Could people actually be angry for different reasons? Could people actually disobey for different reasons? Yeah, what did you really want? But then as we look at this, recognize that all the manifestations of sin, they're driven by inward desires. That's your James verses. James 1, 14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. And then we also see that he said in James 4, verses 1 through 3, so where do wars and fightings come from? Don't they come hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust, or you desire to have, and then he goes on and listen to all these manifestations of discontent. You lust and have not. You kill, desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So all of my outward manifestations of sin are just revealers of these inward desires or my idols. But notice how the world plays into this. I mean, the world just tag teams with our flesh. The world just makes it all look good. The pride of life, a desire to be. Okay, so why would somebody get angry because they had a desire to be? What did they really want? Try to help me think through this. So sometimes we get angry because I wanted to be something. Give me kind of like a little case. Yes. Okay, I wanted to be famous. Or what about, let's just say here, what if I'm speaking, right? And let's say I said some heresy or something that was just really off scripturally. And let's say one of you just said, well, that doesn't match with scripture. And then I get angry because I had a lust or I had a desire to be perceived a certain way in your eyes, right? Or I have a desire to be viewed a certain way by you all with my children. So here are my kids, and then all of a sudden one of them kicks you. And everyone sees. I mean, it's just like at it's just at the pinnacle of when we're trying to do something up here, and you all see it, and then my anger is just, I'm just really mad. Why? Why am I really mad? Because I didn't get what I want. What did I really want? Because I wanted to look a certain way. I had the pride of life. But then the world teams us with the lust of the eyes. It's just a desire to have. Why could I get angry, right? We see the outward manifestation, but what did I really want? How could my anger be connected to my desire for materialism? I wanted money, right? So I want this money because I want to buy this possession. And then all of a sudden there's this guy and he gets the job instead of me, and now I'm mad. You see, we could go all day long, and I say, stop it to you. You're angry because you didn't get your stuff. You're angry because you didn't get the position, or we could even the pleasure. Like, have you ever seen people frustrated because they didn't get some pleasure? Like, some they didn't get their nap. Somebody ate the ice cream. You know? Do you know? You know? I've actually counseled guys that were angry because they didn't get to their pornography. They're punishing the family with their attitude because somehow the internet got turned off. Because they actually had an idol. And their anger is just a revealer of the whole desire for some pleasure outside of God's timing or his way. So what is the question that we're trying to ask? So we see it. We see the outward manifestation of sin. But what's that next question that we really want to ask ourselves? We see the outward manifestation. What did I, say it with me, what did I really
want?
Okay, let's do it one more time. What did I really
want?
Because that's going to tell me my what. What is it going to tell me? It's going to show me my desire. It's going to show me my idol. It's going to show me the thing that I wanted outside of God. It's going to show me what I think is my ultimate. It's going to show me that thing that I really desire. And you know, my desires and the world, they're just, it's actually my idol. And what are some different idols that we could have?
Money.
Okay. An idol of stuff. What else? What's some other idols?
Recreation.
Comfort. Position. Pleasure, ultimately self, people, conveniences, time, what? What'd you say?
Football,
yeah. So an idol, but no, but again though, let's counsel this together. So that's the outward manifestation. What did I really want? Yeah, because why did he get so mad? Why did he get so angry when somebody stood in front of him watching TV? Why did he get so mad? Was that he missed a play? No, not in the United States of Entertainment. Don't worry. They're going to show that play 6 more times. If it was that good, they're going to show you 6 times. They're going to spin it. They're going to put a guitar chord on it. That cool camera's going to come down. No, you know why he got mad? Because you know what? I work my 50, 60 hours, and I put a roof over our head, and I put food on the table, and can't you give me 4 hours to be left by myself? That's the real idol, isn't it? That's what they really wanted. I think every single time we see the outward manifestation, what's the question we ask? What did I really want? So let's take pornography. What did they really want? Some people do want just pleasure. Some people there's actually some men that they just want pleasure. There's some men that they actually want control. They feel like their life is out of control in so many other areas that they just want to be in control. So like with pornography, because guess what? That person that they're viewing is not going to hurt them. So they just want to have a moment of control. Or some women, they want to have stuff. They'll actually use immorality because it's a means to get money, or it's a means to secure a relationship where their things can be paid for. So it's not just simply stop being immoral. It's really coming to grips with what did I really want? Or cheating. Could people have different motives or different idols for cheating on a test? Let's just, in academics, what could be a sinful motive in cheating on a test? Okay, fear of what other people would think of them. So the pride of life. What's something else? Feel a fear of failure or a success. Yeah, they have a lust of the eyes. They want a bunch of treasure, and they know that they've got to get the piece of paper so they can get the job. Or what about just pleasure? They would rather watch TV all day rather than study on the test, and so they're going to come up with a way for them to do this. Now, would we counsel those people differently, actually? Because do you think there's other manifestations of that idol? What do you think? A person who's cheating because wouldn't we talk to them about laziness? Wouldn't we talk to them about other things besides just that desire for the good grade and the good grade and to watch TV all day? Yes, there's probably other manifestations, aren't there? Just like the one that's cheating because they don't want their parents not to like them, they've probably got all sorts of peer-related issues, don't they? In fact, just look at your own life. I think some of us, we're running around trying to stop areas of behavior, but we're not getting down to the heart. It's like that, you ever been to one of those amusement parks and you've got the little bopper and the frog pops up and you're trying to hit it, you know? And then they get tickets by how many, you know, you bop. And so there you are, you start and like, I'll take my five-year-old. And here we are, and we're bopping the frog, one of us, right? And then what do they start doing? They start putting up all these manifestations of frogs so fast that now you've got two boppers, right? And you're just trying to get it as fast as you can. And then it's going so fast that now you've got your foot up there. And then you're throwing your kid down and just going to, okay. The manifestations of the flesh, there's no end to it, is there? And what we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to take now these desires. All I want you to do today, this is your homework, right? You ready? Is I want you tomorrow, when you see some manifestation of the flesh in your life, I want you to ask yourself, what did I really want? And I want you to really begin to identify your idol. I want you just to say, this is my idol. This is why I have my idol. This is what I really want. And then what we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to unfold how that my idols or my desires reveal two things. It reveals a wrong view of God and a love for self that's greater than my love for God, okay? And we're going to boil it down to that, but we need to do it this way. And I'll explain it tomorrow, because sometimes what we do is we just rush to I'm selfish, but we don't really get down to, we don't see the desires that are driving our selfishness. And so if we'll take the time to identify the manifestation, answer the question, what did I really want, then we'll be able to see which attribute of God do I not believe, and how am I loving myself more than I'm loving God.